Very good.
For you.
Very good.
You look real good coming out of that ocean down there.
Covered with voters.
Well, that picture in the paper last night was worth a million. I hope they got that one all over the country. It was damn good.
Thank you.
That was real good. I wanted to check with you quickly. The farm bill's up today in the Senate.
Right.
Leadership, as you probably reviewed this morning, made a decision that it was too risky to go for the mandatory feed grain program.
Right.
It was, by way of alternative, my first choice that we repeal the 58 Act altogether.
Right.
And extend the present one. I was with Ellender until late last night. It was his judgment, although he'll do that if I wish, that this would be extremely difficult and has some political hazard because they'd accuse us of being vindictive where corn is concerned, because soybeans and the other feed grains would be under a 0 to 90% provision in the law of 1949. His proposal is, and he has entered an amendment to that effect, that we repeal the 58 Act, which gets this monstrosity off our back, provide a 0 to 90% discretion, as the other feed grains and soybeans have, subject to the proviso that the Secretary could not set supports so as to add to the surplus. Now, this has some dangers that I want to alert you
to. Well, it seems to me it makes us then responsible, or that we don't have a 90% support price. Everybody can accuse us of saying we could, but we won't.
Well, this, of course, is the danger. This, of course, is the danger. Now, the alternatives here are that we can start, that this act would also mandate the Secretary to submit a program next January. As a part of that, we could make it very clear that in the absence of some legislation, that we would have to set supports according to that proviso. We've got a year, 2 years almost, to bring this home around the country.
Yeah.
It is the judgment of a number of people who I have checked with that our most effective opponent, which is the cattlemen, will begin to get shaken up when they realize that this kind of corn is going to knock hell out of their price. We get some kind of accommodation and get some kind of program through. All the time protecting ourselves on the 65 by pointing out this is a law, this is what we'll have to do. Further, we believe here now, I've set all this down in a memorandum, it's on its way to you. We believe here now that if the feed grain program continues as successful as it has been, that we will have the surplus on feed grains, which was 85 million ton when we came in, down to about 50 to 55 million by the end of 63.
Correct.
If this is correct, and we need to do so, the determination, adequate stabilization and security reserve is something we would decide. And if in 64, that's it, we can decide accordingly. So on balance, it would be my judgment that rather than take it here altogether, which would mean not even an extension, we would mean next January, we would be exactly where we were, that we probably have to follow this course of action.
Well, I know, I'm just to tell you that I have to, whatever your judgment and Ellender's judgment would be, I just have two or three things. One, that we don't break ourselves with this goddamn bill, and two, that we have a... try to get as much as we can in the way of contrast bills out of the books. Now, how you put all that together, I don't really know.
Well, as you know, it's a bitch, and we came so... It makes me sick every time I think of it, because we came so goddamn close to something no one thought had a prayer. Of course, when you do that, it's almost better to lose big, than what... I think the Republicans, the Farm Bureau, the Chamber, the business groups and all now are in a no-bill posture. Now, this is what they want to do, is pass nothing.
Yeah.
And if we're not careful, we could end up with nothing.
And then what would happen?
Well, then we'd just go back to the 58 law, and we'd come back here next January, and we'd really have our tip in the ringer.
Why would we?
Well, because we'd then go back to a minimum 65% under the law, the same thing we're fighting in dairy, and we'd never move them. See, with 0 to 90, at least I can say to these guys, and that we'd have a whole year to dramatize. If you don't do something now, they're going to have 70-cent corn. And to say this to every farmer in the country, and then we got something.
Well, no, he'll say we'll put the support price up to 90, won't he?
Well, you couldn't do that, you see, because the law would provide that you could not put it at a level that would add to surpluses, you see.
Yeah.
See, that's got that
yeah,
provision.
But of course, when it happened in the case of milk, they all took it out on us when we had to drop the support price, didn't they?
I don't think so. The milk thing has not had as adverse...
I saw some poll out there taken by some Wisconsin thing which showed that only 29 or 30% of the farmers, or 38% as opposed to a year ago, 49% approved of us.
That's me, not you.
No, me. me.
No,
me.
I looked at this last night. You go back and look. I think that one, no, you were much higher than that. The same thing in Iowa. You've held up very well, which is the way we've tried to play it. And I'm not very popular now, but we expected this. Well, when he didn't get that control program through early and dragged this out and gave these bastards this regimentation club, why, you're bound to bleed.
Yeah.
And I'm bleeding.
Well, you watched it enough. As I say, well, we don't want to get ourselves politically in 64, number one.
Right.
We don't want to, on the other hand, we don't want to break ourselves by having this bill go out of sight. So whatever you think's the best bet.
All right. Well, I don't think as a practical matter we have any alternative, and I can assure you that 64 dances in front of my eyes every minute on it.
Right.
But it's just a question of choosing between some tough alternatives. And
Well, you do what you think best, and Ted Sorensen wants to talk to you about the problem we've got in the trade bill and cotton. Wait a second.
Yeah.
Oh, Orville.
Good morning, Ted.
I don't want to take up your time when you're working on your bill, but if you could have someone just prepare a memorandum for me on the Talmadge approach to cotton production payments and so on. You see, on the trade bill, we're getting into a problem with all these textile people about the equalization fee. If the equalization fee is turned down, what can we tell them we will do to, say to our domestic mills that they're going to have a fair equal break on the price of cotton?
Ted, here, I'll send that right over. I've been working on this because I've seen this coming, and I'm before the trade bill this week. Here's the situation, I think, both economically and politically. The compensatory payment thing, a la Talmadge, I think is politically impossible. It'd be my guess.
One of the things we'd need, by the way, the president would like to have would be just a list of who'd be for it and who'd be against it in terms of senators, congressmen, and interest groups.
Yeah, well, I can certainly do it. There has been discussed a kind of a middle ground on this, which kind of covers it over a bit, by the means of making payments to some of the mills through the shippers who don't object doing it. I think we could sell this. I think we could sell this and get by with it, and I think it's highly desirable also. One of the things...
Why don't you send it over, and let me take a look at it, and then I'll call you or tell...
All right.
Since you'll be busy, why don't you tell me who I can call?
Tell you what, you're busy now, Ted. I'm going to be here this morning. When you have finished reviewing with the president, will you give me a ring?
Okay.
Then we'll have a little more time, then I'll send something over, and then maybe we can discuss it a minute, because there's some ramifications on the paper.
Well, all right, you wouldn't want to send it over now, so then by the time I'm through here, I'd have it on my desk.
What I have here, because you just asked this, is the economic analysis of cost and effect, not the political.
Yeah. Well, why don't you send that over anyway, so I'll know what proposal it is we're talking about.
I'll get that up here. I've got it on the way up here now, and I'll send it right over, and then you call me.
Very good.
Very good. Thanks.
Nice. Soviet side has been nibbling a little by sending a deputy commandant without a prior appointment over and to call on Watson, and so we think we might be able to push him into an actual meeting.
Yeah.
But if we could get these commandants together and talk about this wall business and the instance long, it might help. But I will try to take a little initiative here to throw some responsibility on their side, too, so that they won't be in such a good position to beat us over the head for the stoning of those buses and so forth.
I just sent a memorandum over to you. Those stonings take place over a period of 3 days? Or just one day?
I think the stoning of the buses was chiefly one day.
I see, because I'd said that the impression I had from the paper is that it took place, I thought we might check into it over 3 days,
right.
And so I was wondering that the West Berlin police didn't do anything about it, and I was wondering on what...
Yes, well, the British did provide an escort on this, I think, the third day, at the request of the Soviets. The Soviets refused escorts before that.
Yeah.
I talked to Berlin last night and made it very clear that first we wanted the West Berlin police to take this very seriously indeed and deal with the situation, but that if it got to the point that the Allied forces would have to assist in maintaining law and order.
Yeah. They're meeting today, are they?
Yes, they're meeting in about an hour.
They're going to put out some statement?
Yes, Mayor Brand, as you saw, made a pretty good statement.
Yeah.
Calling on people to be quiet.
Yeah. The on this refugee, I've sent over my memorandum also just to find out how long it was. On whether they had any contingency planning for that sort of an incident.
because there have been so many ones that have been close to that, whether we ever had any.
Well, we have some for larger episodes. In other words, for
what about a single episode like this, though?
But not because you see, these fellows, no one case is like another. I mean, in the canals, for example, our people don't fish them out of the canals. That's handled on the eastern side. I think perhaps the mistake that was made locally was not offering some medical care.
Yeah.
But we are.
What we'd like to do this memorandum anyway is, but it's just to see what the time schedule was.
Right.
Of course, the West Berliners are not very generous, but either to us. But that's all right. We just have to ride through this one.
All right. Thanks, sir.
All right.
Waiting.
Yes, I met with him at 7:30 this morning. Make me so goddamn mad, and I pointed out to Cannon that you presented in your first budget supplement last year about a $170 million increment to the Eisenhower program, and in the second budget supplement about a $70 million increment for a $240 million increase in the Eisenhower program, and that today we're spending $1.5 billion a year on military space, which is three times the expenditures in 1960 and double the expenditures in 61, and to the best of my knowledge, we're doing everything that the Air Force has asked for on any major systems program. And then I went over the major items.
What did he say then?
Well, he's been talking to the, he's a Brigadier General in the Air Force Reserve. He just came from an Air Force Reserve meeting. They meet at 8 o'clock, the congressional unit, and he'd been up there for an hour and a quarter when I saw him at 9:15. And this has just pumped into them week after week after week. So I've asked Zucker to try to throttle it back. I don't know what the result will be. I'm going to talk to Senator Russell later today. My objective is to avoid a congressional investigation on this if I possibly can.
Is that what they're thinking about having?
Well, that's what Cannon would like to have.
An analysis of what we're doing in space. What do they recommend in the budget, the Air Force?
Well, we have about $1.5 billion now, and for fiscal 63, there is no, to the best of my knowledge, no substantial amount, I mean in excess of $1 million or $2 million here and there, that the Air Force wants that hasn't been provided for them.
Yeah.
And I just talked to Zucker, as I say, this morning on that exact point.
What does he say?
Well, he said that he says there is no major Air Force systems project for space that's being delayed in any way that he knows of.
Yeah.
There are, I think, some differences on $1 million here, and I mean literally $1 million for investigation of some particular kind of a sensor or something like that they may want that we haven't seen yet
that'll
come up.
This is just an Air Force effort to get in.
An Air Force effort to get in. What they really are upset about is the assignment to NASA of the major part of the space program, the civilian space program. This has been a burr under their saddle since it happened in 1958 and 9. But I have told them that's the national policy, and that's the way we're organized to work, and that's the way we're going to work.
Yeah.
But that is one of the subjects that they hope to get discussed publicly. I think it would be a serious mistake to have such an investigation at the present time.
Yeah. And especially when there's really nothing that any particular great system that they want us to appropriate the money for.
No, certainly not. Now, I think that they are probably also smarting under some of the controls we've put into effect here that require that they put down on paper what they want before we proceed to give it to them. And we just canceled, Mr. President, this Navy